We are in the middle of a series called Fuel, where we're hearing from speakers both inside and outside of Crossroads about something that God has done in their life and scripture that is very meaningful to them that now fuels their the way that they live. Today we have a special treat. For those of you who've been around here, maybe you remember him from a few years back. His name is Tim Selleck. He pastors a church called The Crossing, and man, you're in for a treat. So I won't say much more other than he's going to talk to us a little bit about superheroes today.
Okay, in fact, right now I have some pictures up on the screen. I want you, when you see the picture, I want you to shout out the name of who it is. Ready? First one, everybody. Who is it? Superman. Number two, who's number two? Spider-Man. Okay, next one is Batman. Okay, I won't do that one. Okay, next one is Captain Underpants! How many of you have ever heard of Captain Underpants? Okay? That looks like me right now. Anyway, okay. Next. Wonder Woman! Okay, here's what I want you to do. I know this is really freaky. Because you come to church and you expect somebody to talk at you. You're not supposed to talk to each other. Okay, but here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to actually turn to somebody sitting next to you. And I want you to tell them who was your favorite superhero when you were a kid. Okay, do that right now. Real quick. Just do it right now. Favorite superhero. Okay. How many of you, weak show of hands, how many of you Superman fans? Let me see a show of hands. Okay, good. How many of you, Spider-Man, okay. Batman. Whoa, Batman wins. Okay. Wonder Woman. Me too. Yes. Every junior high boy my age back then, Wonder Woman. She was it. Now let me tell you something. This whole superhero thing, it's not just for kids. Superhero movies rake in the dough at the box office. In fact, right now, just hold your hands up for a second now, but when we get to the end, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you here have seen either one of the Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, X-Men, or Fantastic Four movies? Let me see a show of hands, raise them up nice and high. I mean, like everybody, okay? I mean, these movies rake in the dough, the money. Sequel after sequel. Why? Because superheroes aren't just for kids. Now, allow me to introduce myself. My name, as Allie said a little bit before us, my name is Tim Selleck, okay? And I just got to say this right now. The 8:45 service gets a bad rap, okay? That service rocks, okay? But I got to tell you right now, there's a lot more of you here than there were then. So I get nervous. I told you before I wasn't going to tell this story to anybody else, but I'm going to tell you because right now you can tell my RPMs get going. That's my ADHD thing, okay? So just so you know, I'm not Brian Toll. I'm not Brian Wells. Those guys are like sleepy. But anyway, okay. So, okay. When I get nervous, what happens to me is, weird things. Like, for example, when I was really new to the pastorate, you know, you're supposed to go visit people sometimes in the hospital. I'm not really good at that. So this one time, one of my first times, I go to visit this lady in the hospital, and she was dying. And so I didn't know what to do, didn't know what to say, never done it before. So I walked in a room. I was so nervous. I grabbed her hand, and she started talking, thank God. So I grabbed her hand and just held it. She kept talking. But by my nervousness, I saw these peanuts over on the bed stand. And so I started eating one right after another. And then, after a few short seconds, they're all gone. So then in my nervousness, I said, ma'am, I gotta go, I'm sorry. So I got up, walked out of the room, but when I walked out of the room, I realized in the hallway, I'm a pastor, I can't do that. So I had to go back in and tell her the truth, so I walked in, I said, ma'am, I grabbed her hand again, I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry, but I ate all your peanuts. And so she grabbed my hand, she said, and patted it, she said, that's okay, Sonny, I don't like them anyway. All I do is suck all the chocolate off of them. Okay? So, let me just tell you something, okay? Okay, so, okay, not here, okay? I live and pastor a church that I launched, like Brian Tom launched this church. Live and pastor a church in Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of California, called The Crossing, okay? But hey, I just want to tell you right now, I'm not some Southern California fruitcake, okay? I was born and raised for 20 years of my life in Ohio, okay? Okay? I'm actually from Port Clinton, Ohio. How many of you have heard of that? Let me see a show of hands. 6 people. All right. Great. Okay. It's like the stepping stone nowadays to Put-in Bay. It's a great place. But I'm not the only famous Selleck in Cincinnati. Just want you to let you know this right now. I don't know how many of you know about my boy Brent Selleck, okay? Wide receiver, tight end for the Cincinnati Bearcats this year, his last year in college. He was drafted 5th round, 2007 NFL draft. Philadelphia Eagles, okay? Brent Celek, okay? Bengals missed out on a good one there. I don't even know the family, but if you know them, hey, tell them I was here this weekend, okay? Okay? And I just gotta tell you, I'm so honking glad to be here. We're in the middle of a series called Fuel. Brian Tome and Brian Wells, well, they've done a masterful job thus far. Brian Wells speaking last week on God's love. The week before that on God's power. Brian Tome speaking on the life of Caleb. He kicked off the series on Caleb and then he launched into Elijah. And he talked about the portion of Elijah's life where he spent it in the desert. And let me just say this. If you weren't here that weekend, you need to get that CD. Because it was a powerful message. In fact, Brian had one of those holy water holder sprinkler deals that a priest will use to bless people with him. And when I was listening to that message on the podcast online, it brought back all kinds of memories from my time here in Ohio. Because when I was a little boy in Port Clinton, from first grade to sixth grade, I went to Catholic school. And all I ever remember about Catholic school is I was always getting into trouble. And it was around second or third grade. My partner in crime was named Leo. And we were sent to the principal's office. Her name was Sister Assisi. And Leo was sent in first. Sister Assisi had this sort of really stern tone etched on her face. And she said to Leo, as he was in the room, "Where's God?" And he was just quiet. He didn't know how to answer that. And so again, she said, "Where's God?" And then one last time, she said, "Young man, where's God?" And he didn't say a thing. And so she said, "Get up," sent him out of the office, and she told him to get his friend, which happened to be me, and send me in. So as we're passing in the corridor, I said, what's up, man? He said, "I don't know, but evidently God is missing, and they're trying to pin it on us." Okay? And I'll just say this right now, Crossroads, God is not missing at this church, okay? This place is alive, okay? God's people are alive, and God is in the house today, okay? And I'm happy to be here. Are you? Are you? Okay, good. Now, superheroes. What does every superhero that you know of have? Okay, anybody, shout it out. That's right. Superpowers. But in addition to superpowers, most all superheroes have something else in common. That is, that who they appear to be isn't who they really are. Right? Bruce Wayne. Looks like your basic business millionaire tycoon. But who he really is... Batman. Clark Kent looks like your mild-mannered reporter from the Daily Planet. But who he really is... That's right. All it takes is a pair of glasses and nobody recognizes him, you know? What's that about? Who they appear to be is not who they really are. They all have this secret identity, and their secret identity, it is their real identity. Now, maybe you're thinking like, what does this have to do with me? Well, good question. Thanks for asking. But before I answer it, I want to let you know that this message is for three groups of people. For those of you here today, it's an honor to have you. You're far from God. You're saying no to God. You're sort of searching and seeking and wonder where God and church and Christianity fits into the picture of life. I just got to tell you, I hope this message will draw you closer to God. It's also for those of you here who are really close to crossing over that line, to bowing the knee, to saying yes to Jesus Christ. And I hope that this message today causes you, motivates you, to enter into a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But it's also for those who have crossed over the line. It's for those of you who have said yes. If you consider yourself a Christ follower, this message is indeed for you. And hopefully today, you'll see something about whose you are, and then as a result, who you are, that will make a revolutionary impact and difference on you, well, as a person, or a partner, a parent, a professional. Now, I got to tell you, I remember when I was a kid, I used to think that school was like boring. And when you think about it, boring's not a big deal, right? But think some more. Boring is quite a big deal. And it's not just a school thing. Quick survey. Be honest, okay? You're in church, okay? How many of you aren't looking forward to going to work maybe on Monday? At least partly because your job is boring. Raise your hand. How many of you are afraid to raise your hand because your boss is here today, okay? Okay? Now, it's been a while now since that movie The Incredibles came out. Great movie. It's one of my favorite. But that guy, Bob Parr, that's who he is in daily life. But who he really is, his real identity is Mr. Incredible. And Mr. Incredible and his family are not allowed to use their superpowers anymore because, well, they're in superhero relocation program. So now Bob Parr's pushing papers around for an annoying boss, and it's just eating him up inside. So one day he pulls into his driveway, he's just saw, and there's this little kid waiting there on the sidewalk on his little tricycle. I love that little boy. And he's figured out that Bob Parr has superpowers. And Bob Parr says, "What are you waiting for?" And the little kid says, "I don't know. Something amazing, I guess." And Bob says back, "Me too, kid. Me too." You ever feel that way? You get up, get dressed. If you got some kids, you get them dressed. Eat, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, get up, get dressed, get the kids dressed, eat, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, get up, get dressed, go to work, come home, watch TV, retire, then die. I mean, have you ever wished something other than the same old would happen? I'll tell you right now, if you've got too much boring going on in your life, then this message today is indeed for you. I want you to experience again, maybe for the first time in a long time, the hero within. The other day, I had a guy say that when he turned 40, he realized he was never going to play professional baseball. And my first thought as he was telling me this over coffee was, "You didn't figure that out until you're 40? Get a life." But then I thought about it and I began wondering, when I stop dreaming big dreams. I mean, didn't we all think of doing big things when we were kids? Super Bowl MVP. Me, Tim Selleck, up to the plate, bottom of the ninth, two out, seventh game of the World Series. Davey Concepcion on first base. Foster on second. Griffey on third. I was substituted for Johnny Bench. And the pitch comes. I can remember it. It was my team. I hit the ball. I made my way around the bases. And they all joined in surrounding me. I don't know what it was for you. Maybe Miss America. I mean, when did big plans for your life die in you? A really, really good book written by a guy named Rob Bell. It's called Velvet Elvis. He says it this way. Listen to me. He says, this is what we're all dying for. Something that demands that we step up and become better, more focused people. Something that calls out the greatness that we hope is somewhere inside of us. Something that calls out the greatness that we hope is somewhere inside of us. You see, there's the person that you all appear to be. Now, here's what I want you to do. You got a name tag when you came in, right? You got it? Here's what I want you to do. Take one of those name tags out. Just one of them. Take one of them out. Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to do this right now. Just take a few moments. Take a pen or a pencil or writing instrument out. I want everybody to put your first and last name there. First and last name on that name tag. And I want you to write on there what you do in your daily life. What you do in your daily life. Just go ahead and write your name and what you do in your daily life there on that name tag. Okay, go ahead. You got a few moments right now. Do, do, do 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 do. Okay, now here's what I want you to take the name tag off. Take the name tag off and put it on yourself. Put it on yourself. Put it on yourself, okay? Just go ahead and throw that on there. Throw that on there. What do we got here? What do we got here? Let's go down here. What do we got? George, financial advisor. Julie, compliance, no, manager. Compliance manager. There's got to be a story behind that, okay? Tom, sales. Pam, HR assistant. Candace, oh, much, no, money. Okay, no, no, own a clothing store, right? Clothing, cool. You got freebies afterwards? No. Okay, Shannon, what is it? Store owner. What do you got here? Steve, what is it? Have fun. Okay, all day long. Good. Okay, what do we got here? Connie, dental assistant. Hey, let me just tell you something. If you are in Christ, if you said yes to Jesus Christ, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, look at what God has to say about you. 1 Peter 2:9, look at this together. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Look at this next line. God's very own possession. So, you can show others the goodness of God. Everybody read it with me out loud here at 10:15. Let's all read it together. 1 Peter 2:9, here we go. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Say it again, nice and loud. God's very own possession. So what? What, everybody? Show others the goodness of God. See, gang, I'll tell you right now. It's all about whose you are. And as a result of whose you are, who you now are. It's all how you see yourself. When you see yourself differently, then I'll tell you right now, every moment in your life, real little itty-bitty ones and great, gigantic, big ones, become a moment to what? To what? Did you notice it in the verse? To what? To show God's goodness to others, which is the heroic life. You see, folks, we've got a problem. I think there's a foundational reality that we've lost touch with. Or maybe we've never, ever, ever heard about it before. That when a person commits to becoming a follower of Jesus, when a person says yes to Jesus, a profound change occurs in your fundamental identity. It's a change of who you are at the core of your very being. Colossians 3:3. You want to see a superhero's verse from the Bible? Look at this. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life. Superhero, here it comes. Even though invisible to spectators. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your what, everybody? Your real life, even though it's invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. You see, here's the deal. When we identify ourselves with Jesus' death on the cross, something within us dies. The Bible calls that the old person, the old man, the old woman. And that's this person that we were before we had the spiritual new beginning, the spiritual new birth. That's gone. And not only did the old person die, but we've been given a new identity. And now, gang, don't miss this. It fires me up. It's our real identity. Here's another identity verse. Second Corinthians, it says it this way. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, of course, let me just be real clear here. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect or that I don't struggle. It's that being a Christ follower involves a constant, conscious decision to keep dying to the old so we can live in the new. I'm being remade. I'm not who I was. And the person that I am now because of Jesus Christ in me, it's not just a forgiven person. It's not just the person who tries to do more right things and like less wrong things. This new person. See, if you don't get anything else I say today, this is the entire message in one little big idea. This person, you, this new person, is called and empowered to live heroically. You are called and empowered to live heroically. And that's what today's all about. So those of you in this room who have found this newness in God, you've been called and empowered to live heroically. This new person, you, if you are in Jesus Christ, you have the heroic inside of you. And let me ask, do you ever think about that? That your true identity has the heroic in it? I don't think we take that very seriously. And I think for good reason. For most of us, all of our lives, we've been reminded over and over again of what we can't do. Or how we can't or don't measure up. Or we've been trying to spend our time trying to prove what we can do and what we're worth. But God says that He has poured in us like this new fuel that has the heroic. And why has He done it? Why? Don't miss it. Why has He done it? To show God's goodness to others. So you see, my friends, you're not at all unlike your favorite superhero. But instead of spreading this generic goodness in the world, you and I have this new fundamental identity, this hero that lies within, to show God's goodness to others. So this changes everything. You're no longer just a mom, or just a dad, or just a husband or a wife, an employee, a friend or a family member. If you're in Christ, your spiritual DNA has been altered. Your real identity is God's hero. So instead of having this big S on our chest, it stands for Superman or Superwoman. Maybe ours should be, well, take out the other name tag. Take out the other name tag. And here's what I want you to do. Put a big, big H on it. H squared stands for Heavenly Heroes. Heavenly Heroes. Put a big H squared on there. And I want you to take that name tag now and put it right over the other one. Put it right over the other one. You see, each and every day when you wake up, if you are a follower of Christ, if you're in Christ, if you said yes to Jesus, you're no longer a mom or a dad, a friend or a family member, an employee or an executive. You, my friend, are a heavenly hero. Masquerading as mom or dad, friend or family member, employee or executive. You are just a regular, normal, everyday person on the outside, but on the inside, you have been made altogether brand new. Why? Why? To show God's goodness to others. So the big question of the day is this. Will you, following this service, wake up and embrace your true identity? This concept is so flippant important. It's changed my whole way of thinking. It's given me a whole new fuel of the highest octane for my life. Because that means that every moment in life is a moment to be a tool of God, to be a heavenly hero. And I might mess up in that moment with the littlest of childs. But the very next moment comes along and gives me another chance where I can display these new powers that lie within to show God's goodness. Oh, okay, let me see if I can make this practical for you. Where when you stop and think of superhero flicks, where do superheroes shine? I mean, think of Superman. Or Batman, or Spider-Man, whether they're functioning out of their superhero powers, or they're just, you know, like living out of their daily normal life existence, like Clark Kent, or Bruce Wayne. Have you ever noticed that one of the things that makes them a little bit unique is that they have this ability, when everyone else around them doesn't, to watch their words? You ever notice that? They really measure their mouth. In fact, let's carry that over then for heavenly heroes. Let me just tell you, it's no different. It's no different for us. Heavenly heroes watch their words. They watch their words. They're positive. Superheroes are in the comic books. Why ought not we be in our everyday life? We must watch our words. Let me tell you right now, if you're the average American male, you will speak on average 15,000 words a day. If you're the average American female, you'll speak 30,000 words a day. I have no comment on that statistic. Ephesians 4:29, look what it says. Ephesians 4:29, it says it this way. Don't use foul or abusive language. See, heavenly heroes don't use foul or abusive language. They let everything they say be good and helpful so that their words will be an encouragement. See, there it is again, to show God's goodness. It's right there. That their words would be an encouragement to those who hear them. Words can create a chain reaction for good or bad. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. You could say something that you didn't mean to have any harm, but it has devastating effects on the psyche of a little 20-month-old, on a 21-year-old, or an 87-year-old. And it went way beyond anything that you thought you could control. Like on a personal level, men. You come home from work, you're tired, grumpy, you're fussy and cranky. And you as the husband, you walk in at the end of the day and you go, you just sort of yell at your wife. Bleh! And then your wife thinks to herself, I'm not going to take that. So she turns around and yells at the oldest child. The oldest child turns around and yells at the baby sister. The baby sister goes out and kicks the dog. The dog comes running in and bites the cat. Cat comes in, scratches the baby. The baby bites the head off the Barbie doll. Now let me ask you, man, wouldn't it be a lot simpler if you just walked in at the end of the day and bit the head off the Barbie doll yourself? See, when you understand your new identity, heavenly heroes, they watch their words. Proverbs 18:20 says, you'll have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Let me give you an example of an experience that I had recently with my wife, Sue. My wife of 28 years. You see, I love to do the cooking in our household. And one night we were getting dinner ready, and on that particular night I was cooking some chicken breasts out on the outdoor grill, and they were done. And so Sue came out, and then she brought them into the house and started to get them ready. And as I walked in, I looked over at Sue, and I realized that she was cutting the chicken breasts the wrong way. See, as most of you know, you cut a boneless, skinless chicken breast against the grain as God intended it to be done. If you cut chicken that way, it lays itself out neatly onto the plate and makes a wonderful presentation. Again, as God intended. But if you cut it the other way, with the grain, it gets unwieldy and you end up with a chain of 4 or 5 pieces of chicken meat that are just horribly mashed and stringy. It's just chaos. The Bible's very clear about this. Now, okay, follow me here. I think now to myself, if this goes unchecked, our kids, I've got 2 daughters, 23 and 20, they will continue to grow up to cut chicken the wrong way. There will be a chicken slicing dysfunction in families and generations hereafter. So what do I try to do? I try to correct her. I reprove her. Women, do you think she appreciated that? No. See, if I realized that that was a moment that I had been given, quite small and inconsequential when you stop and think about it in terms of mammalody, but still a moment given to me by God to be a heavenly hero, what should I have done? I should have let go of my need to make sure that she cuts chicken breast the way I think is the right way. And I should have said, hey babe, thank you for helping out with dinner. I just so much appreciate that. Oh, thanks so very much. Let me tell you, if I would have done that, it would have changed the whole dynamic of dinner. Okay? See, listen to me now. I had an opportunity to show God's goodness to my wife. Watch your words. Say only things that will build up, not tear down. Let me just camp on this marriage one. Ephesians 5. Look at what Ephesians 5 says. Ephesians 5 says it this way. It says, the wife must see to it that she deeply respects her husband, obeying, praising, and honoring him. I'm going to skip over the obeying one. Okay, don't have time. Concentrate on the words praising and honoring right now. The word honor in the Bible, it has the best way to illustrate it for our purposes today. It's when a judge walks into the courtroom and the bailiff says, all rise. The honorable so-and-so now presiding. So, all those of you here today who are married and you're with your spouse, I want you to stand up. Men and women, husbands and wives. You're married and you're with your spouse. Stand up together. Stand up together, okay? What I want you to do is turn and face each other like you did on your wedding day. Turn and face each other like you did on your wedding day. And women, here's what I want you to do from now on. You want to be a heavenly hero. Here's what I want you to do from now on. When your husband comes home at the end of the day, you're already there ahead of him, let's say. You're there ahead of him. Here's what I want you to say nice and loud to anybody who's there. Might be not anybody, no dogs, no cats, no kids. But I want you to say this nice and loud. I want you to say, all rise. The honorable so-and-so. Say it now with me. Say it with me, women. Here we go. Say it, women. All rise. The honorable. Look at the man. Look, man. Yes. Okay, man. You get pretty cocky. Okay? Look what God says to you. Ephesians 5, verse 25 comes before verse 33. It says, husbands must show the same kind of love to your wives as Christ showed the church when he, what? Died. For her. Men, your wife is only to respect you. You are to die for her. Now see, man, let me see. See, I remember one time I came home, I told Sue, I said, oh man, I love you. I love you. Man, I die for you, my love. And she said, Tim, you're always saying it, but you never do it. You know? Men, you want to be a hero in your home? After today's service, go home, get a 3x5 card. And on that 3x5 card, write these words. And then put that card up wherever it is. You'll see it first thing in the morning. On that 3x5 card, put this phrase. How can I die for my wife today? Because let me tell you, men. There's not a woman in the world who isn't willing to respect a man who's willing to die for her. You can be seated, okay? You can be seated. So heavenly heroes watch their words, and by doing so, what do? They show the goodness of God in their workplaces, in their homes, in their families. Number two, have you ever noticed another thing about superheroes when you watch a movie? The superhero is generally one of the only ones in the movie who lives a wholesome life. It's no different for heavenly heroes. See, heavenly heroes, you wanted to see this one? Heavenly heroes pursue purity. Heavenly heroes pursue purity. And in this day and age, let me tell you, that'll set you apart. As a high school student, a college student, married, single, young or old, male or female. One way to show the goodness of God is to pursue purity. Because I'll tell you right now, there's a payoff in your marriage. There's a payoff in your dating. And as I already indicated, I've got two daughters. There's a payoff in your parenting. And pursuing purity starts with the eyes. I mean, let's stop and think about superheroes. Have you ever noticed how many superheroes have X-ray vision? When I was a little boy in junior high, I used to pray that I could have X-ray vision. But I wanted to use it for evil purposes. But superheroes don't use it for evil purposes. They only use it to keep their eyes on the lookout for evil so that they can accomplish good. See, the book of Job says it this way. Job says, Job 31 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Now, some of you are thinking already, what's the big deal? I'm only window shopping. I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just looking at the menu. I'm not going to order. What's the big deal? Well, Jesus, he explained the big deal. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, he said it this way. Do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anybody who looks at a woman lustfully has already done that. Already committed adultery with her in his heart. And then he goes on to say, what does he go on to say? If your right eye causes you to sin, what are you supposed to do? What does he say to do? Everybody read it out loud together. You gouge it out and throw it away. Was he being literal? I hope not. Because if he was, a lot of you are going to walk in here next week looking like a cyclops, okay? I like the story about this guy who was down at Newport on the levee with his wife. And a college girl walked by, sort of skimpily dressed. And this guy was, he looked. And then his wife looked at him and said, was she worth the trouble you're now in? Okay? I'll never forget this one, friends. I went to my favorite coffee shop, and I was in 5 feet from the front door, and I could just sense that something was different on this day. I've been to this coffee shop before. In the mornings, it's mostly business, okay? People are on their way. They've got people to see, things to do, places to attend. It's generally fairly ho-hum. But this day, before I even opened the door, I could sense that things were different. And oh boy, were they. When I swung the door open, I saw before me the most beautiful, seductive woman I had ever seen in my life. Guys, I kid you not, her figure, oh my. She had about as much clothing as a Victoria's Secret model. Literally, I couldn't tell. 7:30 in the morning. I couldn't tell if she had just got out of bed. But in that instance, I was attracted to her. I was like, this is like unbelievable. Now let me just stop here and say something, okay? It is not a sin to be attracted to someone of the opposite sex. That will happen. We're going to be attracted to members of the opposite sex. I hope you realize that and understand that. That's not a sin. It's what you do after the first look. So I saw this girl and I go, whoa. Now I've got a moment of truth. She's standing two people in front of me in line. My first thought, not kidding you, was, does anyone see what I'm seeing? Well, believe me, every guy in there did. I had never seen guys linger so long before. My second thought, I kid you not, was, does anyone here know me? Because if I was in a lineup and somebody said, that's Tim Selleck, pastor of the Crossing. Because if no one knows me, then I could take a second look and a third look and a fourth look. In that split second, I had a choice. I can keep looking, watching, salivating, and follow the path of impurity, which was what most of the other men were doing on that particular morning. Or I could acknowledge what was going on in my insides. I felt like the robot in Lost in Space. Warning! Warning! Okay? Because I had a choice in that moment. Press the delete button, erase the image, and go on with my day. But what would I do? On that occasion, you know what I did? I remember the conscious thought went through my mind, because this is what fuels me these days. I remember thinking to myself, I'm a heavenly hero. Who I am now out here isn't who I am in here. My real identity is one who walks in purity. So I walked away, and I was glad I did, because as I walked out of the coffee shop, sat down to have a meeting that I was having with somebody, outside, as we were about in the middle of our meeting, this guy comes out of the coffee shop, interrupts our meeting and says, did you see that girl? My first thought was to lie, okay, but I said, yes, I saw her. And then he said to us, sitting there, didn't know this guy, he said, well, so did I. And then he follows it up with, and by the way, I go to your church. He said, I was watching you. And then he said, you did good, man. You did good. Okay? I mean, in that brief moment of time, what was happening? I didn't know it. But it was a moment to display the goodness of God that was going to have an impact. Because see, in that split second, somebody that was orbiting around me, somebody I don't know, was trying to decide, does this guy practice what he preaches? And by the way, just got to be clear on this. I don't bet a thousand in that area all the time. But on that day, I'm glad I did. Because what I've come to find out is that man is a man who's far from God. He's searching and seeking after God. He's trying to decide where God fits into his story. See, when you see yourself in every moment, it's a moment to display your heavenly hero powers. It could be with a 2-year-old. It could be with a coworker. It could be with your mom or your dad. See, God says love heroically, serve heroic, live heroic. And we live this way, just so you understand, we're not living it this way to impress other people. We're doing it, what? Why? To show God's goodness to others. So tomorrow when you get up, I want you to look in the mirror. All of you, I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to say, who I am is not who I appear to be. Everybody say with me out loud. Who I am is not who I appear to be. I want you to say, I am a new creation. Say it with me. I am a new creation. I was meant to be a hero. Say it. I was meant to be a hero. And let me tell you, friends, those of you here who name the name of Jesus Christ, you've crossed over the line of faith and said yes to Jesus. There are people all around you who are far from God. Some of them are here today. You might have even invited one or two with you. And it's a real cool thing. In fact, it's a real compelling thing when God's power flows out of us in a way that displays goodness to others. I mean, it's like the most coolest thing that 600 of you went to Mamelodi. But let me tell you something. Mamelodi exists right here. In the home that you're going to go in this afternoon. In the job of retail that you're going to find your way walking through the storefront doors. With the mom or the dad that you just think they need to get a life. With a friend. When you see God's superhero powers flowing through you, it will draw people to you. That's why we like superhero movies. Don't ever forget it. The new you. You are called and empowered to live heroically. Let's all stand for closing prayer. Everybody bow your heads. Could you do that for me? I don't know if that's normal for you, but it might even freak you out a little bit. But just bow your heads. You don't have to close your eyes, but just bow your heads. I don't want to give you a chance today to walk out of here and to be refreshed, to be renewed, to maybe have a clean slate and start over. And the question I want to ask is this. How many of you, it could have been this morning getting ready for Crossroads. It could have been this past week as you're working on a project with some teammates at work. It might have been in a car as you traveled along the highway system here. But how many of you here have, I wonder, don't raise your hand just yet, but how many I wonder have you have some words that you need to take back? Some maybe there's a person even in your home because of what happened today, a spouse, a child, a mom, a dad, somebody that you need to say, I'm sorry to, because of your word choices. How many of you have a coworker or an employer or an employee? This past week you said something directly to them or maybe you were in conversations with some others about somebody else and they don't even know it, but you said something about them. Words. You weren't acting out of your heavenly hero power at the moment. And so you need to go back ashamedly so. You'll feel a little embarrassed, but you know you need to go back and say you're sorry. How many of you here have some words that just in recent days you need to go back and make right? Raise your hands. Just raise your hands. Nice and high. Raise them up. Nice and high. Nice and high. Wow. Look at that. Wow. You put your hands down. Let me pray for you. God, I pray that the individuals in this room who raise their hands, well, over three quarters, that you will pour into us the empowerment of a different kind of power to go beyond our embarrassment, to beyond our shame, and to say we're sorry. To a husband, to a wife, to a child, to a mom or a dad, a coworker, a neighbor. May we go above and beyond and say those words. Now, second of all, and this is going to feel a little bit different, a little awkward. I'll just tell you right now. But in the realm of purity, whether you're married or single, young or old, male or female, I wonder how many of you here today, you're struggling. Because there's a secret you. That there's stuff that you're dabbling in. It doesn't have you completely in bondage. Others of you here, you're really struggling. For some of you, you think it's just as simple as where your eyes travel quite frequently. Or as profound as you're carrying on in a relationship with somebody who's not your husband or your wife. What I want to ask you to do right now, and I know this will be incredibly intimidating, but I want to see you walk out of here free. If there's some issue of purity in your life that's really out of sorts and it's crossed over to impurity, and you know that you need to confess it to God. In a moment, I want you to raise your hand. Now, I know what's freaky about that is that somebody's going to feel your hand go up and they're going to think, oh, pervert. But that's not true. I would just say you're a person who needs the healing, freeing, forgiving power of Jesus Christ. And then like Jesus said to the woman at the well, go and sin no more. So if that's true of you in this moment, you know you need to confess that. I want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand all across the auditorium. Raise your hand nice and high. Nice and high. Nice and high. Wow. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Let me pray for you. God, it took guts to raise our hands right then. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would swoop in and clean up and free up and heal up what's now taking place in the lives of the hands that went up just a moment ago. And God, I do pray, as Jesus said, that we'd walk out of this room and we'd go and sin no more. Maybe we'll have to have a hard conversation with a spouse. Maybe we'll have to invite some accountability partners into our dating relationship. Maybe it'll be some sort of monitoring software. But God, I pray that we'll go and we'll walk out of this room as an H-squared individual, a heavenly hero. Heroes that watch our words and only build up, never tear down. And people who are freed up to live pure lives before you, oh God. I pray this for each and every person who's come to Crossroads this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Have a great day. See you later. Bye now.